Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ing's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
As always, I'd like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday. As we come into community, to deepen in our connection with the source of all that is, the ground of being God in us as us. This week I shared a quote with you by Lynn Twist, which I guess you could say blew me away. In the sense that one of my favorite phrases that you would hear me quote often is that God is my sufficiency in all things. And I'm going to share Lynn's quote in its entirety, and then we'll explore and investigate further. And she says, "We each have the choice in any setting to step back and let go of the mindset of scarcity. Once we let go of scarcity, we discover the surprising truth of sufficiency. By sufficiency, I don't mean a quantity of anything. Sufficiency isn't two steps up from poverty or one step short of abundance. It isn't a measure of barely enough or more than enough. Sufficiency isn't an amount at all. It's an experience, a context we generate, a declaration, a knowing that there is enough and that we are enough. In our relationship with money, it is using money in a way that expresses our integrity, using it in a way that expresses value rather than determines value. Sufficiency is not a message about simplicity or about cutting back or lowering expectations. Sufficiency doesn't mean we should strive or aspire, that we shouldn't strive or aspire. Sufficiency is an act of generating, distinguishing, making known to ourselves the power and presence of our existing resources and our inner resource. Sufficiency is a context we bring forth from within that reminds us that if we look around us and within ourselves, we will find what we need." I so resonate with everything that Lynn shares. And we have discussed it in so many ways and so many different times on the Sunday Soul. But I really want to focus on the fact that sufficiency is that ability to connect with the source of all that is in our time of need and knowing that that need will be met in perfect and timely ways. It isn't necessarily showing up how we want or how we expect or how we think we need. But it is when you allow yourself to connect with the source of all that is right where you are. It shows up in the way that is right in that moment. You see, the difference between sufficiency and adequacy is adequate is perhaps just reaching and having just the right amount. Just maybe only enough. But sufficiency isn't necessarily decided as a quantity, but it's an awareness that whatever it is, or whatever you need, or whatever guidance, inspiration, direction, the sufficiency is that God will bring it forth in its perfect and timely way. Over the many years, I have lent people tens of thousands of pounds, to which many of them have never repaid. And at one point, many moons ago, I thought it take it upon myself to call them to remind them. And then it was like God put it on my heart. I will give you everything you need when you need it. And I realized then, as I continue to realize throughout my life, that God meets my every need in perfect and timely ways. That God truly is my sufficiency in all things. That what God has blessed me once, God can bless me with again. So whilst these people who owed me money or owe me money continue in their mindset of scarcity, continue to think that it's okay to borrow and not return, and that somehow they've got away with something, I know with my hand on heart, not one of them has excelled or surpassed me when it comes to abundance, prosperity, or success. And this is the thing people fail to realize. When you look to God as the source, as opposed to outer things, to the effects, as you look to God as the first causation, the principle, the law that is ever present right where you are, God knows how to bring about whatever it is that is the need in that moment. If you could think about it as an orange tree can produce oranges, you can think of the orange tree as that which is expressing law and principle and is the causation of producing oranges. And you can take those oranges from the tree and you can sell it or give it away or eat it, and then the oranges are finished because it is only an effect. The real supply comes from the tree, which uses the laws and principles of its nature to produce more oranges. Your wages or salary or benefit allowances or anticipated inheritance, these are all but effects. The real source, the real supply is the law, the principle, the infinite divine causation that is within you, that is God. That is the infinite and divine intelligence that knows what to do for everything that concerns your life. I shared with you my friend last week who gave me her list of woes, and how she was losing her faith. How can you lose your faith when God is your sufficiency in all things? She had forgotten all the times that God had met her needs in every situation or condition, for every challenge. And we all do that. In our moment of crisis, we can only focus our attention on whatever it is that is challenging us, begging, pleading, cajoling with the divine to hear our prayer and grant our needs, forgetting all the other times and occasions God has met your need. God is your sufficiency for everything, for every need, for every purpose, for every realization. And something occurred last Friday, which some of you know about. As I was watching TV, three intruders entered into my home. At first, I couldn't distinguish what they were, who they were, or that it was even something. But when I did come to the realization that it was something that shouldn't be there, I shouted, "Get out of my house," and then ran to chase them. As I entered into the garden, I couldn't find my remote for the light switch to put on the lights in the garden and called the police. My friend came round as we were putting up plastic spikes along the wall, which was their point of entry yesterday. And we were talking, because I had sent him a text asking him, you know, was the CCTV working, blah, blah, blah. And then I remembered he was at a work function. We were supposed to be going out that Friday, and he postponed it for this Thursday, just gone, because he had this work thing that he had to attend. And so as we were talking about it, he said, "You do realize that had we gone out on Friday for dinner, the doors would have been open, because you leave them open, and they would have got in and had full reign of the house." I said, "I hadn't really thought of that." The recognition again of God being my sufficiency, that even the dates were changed for when I would have been out of the house to the following week, to the giving me the voice to shout, the fearlessness to chase them. It's the remembrance that God is my sufficiency for every single thing for my life. And God is your sufficiency for every need for your life. The thing is that we look at effects thinking that's what we need to be focusing our attention on. It is not the effects, it is the causation, the infinite, unchanging principle and law that is the Spirit of God in you, in me, and that is everywhere present at every point in space and time. There is nowhere where God is not. I can only re-emphasize over and over. When you look to how Jesus practiced this truth, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, recognizing that God was his sufficiency, that God was able to do abundantly, that we were to look beyond the appearances of what was there, to know that the fullness, the allness, the abundance of God is in everything, and blessed it and fed the 5,000. And there was so much surplus, there was 12 baskets left over. You see, that's why he said that we were to take no thought of what we should eat and what we should wear, because the Heavenly Father knew what we had need of even before we had need of it. Our responsibility is to, in partaking of this truth, is to realize and remember in whatever situation or condition that God is our sufficiency, that we are enough because the principle, the law, the causation of all that exists, the creator, the sustainer, is right where we are. My sacred text, 2 Corinthians 3:5, says, "Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God." Our second sacred text is 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work." You see, our sacred text is speaking to the fact it's not in effects that we will find our good or that we will achieve. It's in the knowing that God is our sufficiency, that God is our source, that God's grace is enough for everything that we might need. And when you know that God's grace is your sufficiency, you can fearlessly let go of whatever you are clutching to, thinking that this is your only source of supply, your only source of abundance, your only source of whatever. You can share, you can give, because you know it will come back. I have learned to give fearlessly because I know that God is my sufficiency. And what God has blessed me once, God can bless me again. Because God is not limited by precedent. God is the unlimited source, the unlimited principle that is forever working in and through and as us. We only need to get ourselves out of the way. For we are the block. When our faith dims, we stop the flow. When our trust in God is rusty, we limit its expression. When our belief is going south, instead of opening up our hearts and minds to remember and recognize the unfailing, unchanging truth that God is our sufficiency in all things, we blunder. We blunder along. My poem is by Vivian Fabregues, who says, "One lie is enough to break a trust. One sentence is enough to break a heart. One second is enough to lose the battle, and one smile is enough to fall in love. One mistake is enough to lose a job. One touch is enough to heal a wounded heart. But whatever our pain, whatever our struggle, our God is more than enough." Beloved, when we recognize that God is enough, we know that God is our sufficiency in all things. So my story today, from Bob Perks, the original story. He says, "I overheard a father and daughter at an airport in their last moments together. They had announced her plane's departure, and standing near the door, he said to his daughter, 'I love you. I wish you enough.' She said, 'Daddy, our life together has been more than enough. Your love is all I ever needed, and I wish you enough too, Daddy.' They kissed goodbye and she left. He walked over towards the window where I was seated. Standing there, I could see he wanted and needed to cry. I tried not to intrude on his privacy. But he welcomed me by asking, 'Did you ever say goodbye to someone knowing it could be or would be forever?' 'Yes, I have,' I replied, saying that brought back memories of expressing my love and appreciation for all my dad had done to me. Recognizing that his days were limited, I took the time to tell him face to face how much he meant to me, so I knew what this man was experiencing. 'Forgive me for asking, but why is this a forever goodbye?' I asked. 'I am old, and she lives much too far away. I have challenges ahead, and the reality is her next trip will be back for my funeral,' he said. 'When you were saying goodbye, I heard you say, I wish you enough. May I ask what that means?' He began to smile. 'That's a wish that has been handed down from other generations. My parents used to say it to everyone.' He paused for a moment and looked up as if trying to remember it in detail. He smiled even more. 'When we said, I wish you enough, we were wanting the other person to have a life filled with enough good things to sustain them.' He continued, and then turning towards me, he shared the following as if he were reciting it from memory. 'I wish you enough sun to keep your attitude bright. I wish you enough rain to appreciate the sun more. I wish you enough happiness to keep your spirit alive. I wish you enough pain so that the smallest joys appear in life much bigger. I wish you enough gain to satisfy your wanting. I wish you enough loss to appreciate all that you possess. I wish enough hellos to get you through the final goodbye. When you were saying goodbye, I heard you say, I wish you enough. Yes, I wish you enough of everything that is good. I wish you enough for everything that you want in life. And I believe, as this story demonstrates, that God is our sufficiency is enough for everything that we need. But as this human father wished his human daughter enough of all that she needed, our Heavenly Father, our internal, external, all-providing, all-pervading supply of our every need, wishes us enough by providing our sufficiency for everything. My beloved, there is never for me enough thanks and gratitude for all that God supplies, for the realization and the recognition that God has met my every need in perfect ways. And God will continue to meet all of our perfect needs in perfect and timely ways. We are in the season of Advent, and this being the second Sunday, when it is the tradition in the faith to light a purple candle, which is the symbol of faith. And it's, as you do it, it's the preparation of opening your heart to realize Jesus is your King and to recognize God's grace abounding in your life in this holy anticipation of this Jesus. But to me, it's this, how do I strengthen and increase my faith to continuously walk this walk, to continuously look to God as the causation, the principle, the law that is ever present, that is unchanging, and that is unchangeable, that is unconditional and ceaseless at work in our lives as we move away the dross of fear and worry and anxiety, to allow our faith and trust and belief to be as strong and as emboldened as it was in Jesus as we prepare to celebrate what is his birth at this time. My want, my desire, my wish for each and every one is that you develop and cultivate your own personal relationship with the sacred, that you allow the Holy of Holies to truly express in you, through you, and as you. That you know, as Jesus did, wholeheartedly, that God's sufficiency is all you need. For God's grace is ever abounding in perfect and timely ways to meet your needs in divine and perfect order. If you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within to honor and thank this wonderful body temple that is God's holy sanctuary. To recognize and offer gratitude for all of the organs that function without us consciously directing them. As we bring our attention to the breath, I'd like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." So as we take the next three deep breaths in, let us be cognizant that we are breathing in the breath of life itself. Inhale, lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach. Hold. Gently. Inhale. Hold. Gently.
for our third and final time. Inhale. Bring your attention down into the sanctuary of the soul, the cave of the heart. Take a moment to acknowledge the work of the heart as it pumps the life-giving blood around your body, and give it thanks and gratitude and appreciation. For if it stopped, you would cease to live. Inhale and affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in love. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out cruelty. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in joy. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out impatience. Place your attention in your kidneys and your lower back. And take a moment to acknowledge the deep gratitude you have for them as they work in eliminating the toxic substances and waste from your body. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in gentleness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out fear. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in calmness. This is my breath as I breathe out stress. Now place your attention on your liver, on the right side of your body, under your rib cage, the largest organ that is self-generating, that cleans and detoxifies your blood and fights infections. Offer deep, deep gratitude for this wonderful organ. Inhale and affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in kindness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anger. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in generosity. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out frustration. Bring your attention to your lungs. Give thanks to the way the lungs brings in the air from the atmosphere and extracts the oxygen and passes it round through the body, through your bloodstream. Inhale and affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in honesty. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out depression. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in courage. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out sadness. Take a moment to place your attention on your stomach now and think about how it stores the food, it mixes it, it breaks it down, it extracts the nutrients so that you are nourished, and give it thanks and gratitude. Inhale and affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in fairness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anxiety. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in trust. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out worry. I'd like you to place your hand wherever there may be some discomfort or disease in the body. And take a moment to visualize God's healing light flowing in and through you. And direct it to wherever it is you've placed your hand. We know that God is our sufficiency for our every need. And that sufficiency includes our healing. So take a moment and give thanks for the healing that is occurring right where your hand is, right where that need is, that dis-ease is, that discomfort is. And give God thanks for his sufficiency and healing, for his wholeness, for his perfect right expression in and through you. And as we acknowledge all of the systems within the body, the skeletal, the nervous, the muscular, the respiratory, the endocrine, the immune, the cardiovascular, the intercammatory, the reproductive, the digestive, the circulatory systems. Affirm, still with your hand placed wherever it is on your body, the divine within me is wholeness. And my mind reflects this wholeness into every organ, every function, every action, every reaction of my physical being, renewing it after the perfect pattern, the Christ within me. Take a deep breath in. As we allow the healing, renewing, restoring energy of the Christ to do what it does best, in its perfect way, in and through us. And take another deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer, knowing that God is our sufficiency for our every need, for our every want, our every desire, our every condition, our every circumstance. Holding to the truth that God is the spirit, the life force that is everywhere present, whose center is everywhere and circumference is nowhere. We consciously come into communion with the divine ground of our being, the infinite intelligence, the absolute mystery that we call the beloved Mother, Father, God. Divine beloved, as we come into your presence this morning, taking a moment to thank you, to glorify you, to acknowledge you as the sufficiency for our every need, to give you thanks, to give you praise, to knowing that even when we have not consciously or been aware of it, your spirit continues and continuously works on our behalf. Your desire is that we deepen in our conscious awareness of your ever-abiding presence as principle and law and causation within us. You are indeed our supply for everything. You are indeed our sufficiency for every need. You indeed know what to do and how to do it concerning our health, our well-being, be it mentally, emotionally, financially, spiritually, or whatever it is. Mother, Father, God, you did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Let us use these attributes wisely, conscientiously, and consistently so that we can look beyond the appearance of need or lack and know that you are sufficiency in whatever concern we have. As always, we like to include our world for all sentient beings, two-legged, winged, finned, hoofed, in our circle of prayer. For we know that truly life is about oneness, oneness with you, oneness with each other, oneness with all that exists. Each is an expression of your infinite and endless and eternal life. And whilst we're here in organic form, which is temporary, that which animates in and through us is eternal, is your spirit. And so there is so much need on this earth at this time. Too much to list or name. But I know that the God of all sufficiency is the knower of all things and is able to do abundantly more than I can ask or think for my individual needs and our collective needs. So I surrender everything and everyone to you for each need to be met in perfect and timely ways. I ask a special blessing upon the governments and world leaders that you truly touch their hearts, that they may seek to do what is right for the highest and the best of the people, for the highest and best for all in their nation and for all nations. Let your kingdom come in our hearts and let your will be done on earth. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer this morning. Stretch your hands towards the sky, wiggle your fingers and affirm. I open myself to life all around me. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart and affirm. I am one with love and all that love is. Bring your hands together as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm. I speak only words of health and wholeness. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open, facing outwards and affirm. I give thanks for all good things flowing to me. Bend your elbows and make small circles with your wrists and affirm. I release and let go. So it is. And I forgot to share our signs of mind reading, so I will share this now whilst you're in this open state. The first quote is from Wayne Dyer, who says, "When you're connected to the power of intention, everywhere you go and everyone you meet is affected by you and the energy you radiate." Our second quote from Ernest Holmes, The Science of Mind. We must be specific on what we do, while at the same time, never outline how it should be done. Remember, we are dealing with intelligence. The author writes, angels are with us, always. I bumped into a few during the pandemic when I was called to visit a congregant in the hospital. Hospitals baffle me. There are maze of hallways equipped with multiple layers of access codes, spiced up with heady mixture of access technology from old school phones to intercoms and electronic number pads. Despite that, I'm always up for the challenge of being a voice of spirit amid mayhem. I just need to find my way there. I followed my initial directions closely and came up short when a sign at the entrance to one ward simply said, "Wait, and we'll come for you." I waited, and no one came. So I took the bold step of reaching out, sporting my regulation KN95 mask, and headed for the nursing station. From there, it was like pixie dust settled over me. Two nurses graciously redirected me to the right ward. Then, before I found it, a man in a lab coat came through the door and, somehow knowing I needed help, guided me personally to a phone on the wall to make a call for access to the right ward. When the nurse answered, she filled the space with more light, remarking on how great her day was, knowing that it would only get better. I arrived at peace, in a perfect state of mind to converse one-on-one with my congregant. Sometimes what looks like a maze is in fact a gentle pathway. We need only take the first step in trust and know that all is unfolding in divine perfection. I love what the author shares. An absolute demonstration of God is our sufficiency. For each step she was guided and directed, not by one, not by two, but by three or four different people. You see, that's how God moves. And so take a deep breath in as I unmute the phones for our affirmations and Buddhist reflections. Repeat after me our affirmation. I rest in the knowledge.
I rest in the knowledge.
God finds the way.
God finds the way.
Our Buddhist reflection. If anyone has hurt or harmed me.
If anyone has hurt or harmed me.
Knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed.
Knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed.
I freely forgive them. And I ask forgiveness.
And I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone.
Knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed.
Knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
Forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free. May I feel protected and safe, contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. Our prayer of intention, I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without. Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without. Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Our rumination for this week, Rumi says, as you start to walk on the way appears.
And beloveds, I just want to reiterate what I shared in the notification yesterday. Sunday soul that it's Christmas is actually Christmas Day. So we can, if it suits the majority of you, start an hour earlier for 9 o'clock so that it doesn't get in the way with family commitments. So let me know. And also, if you would like to receive the candle for Christmas Day and New Year's Day, please let me have your address. So my closing benediction, as promised, we continue with the various expressions of the Lord's Prayer. This one is translated by Mark Hathaway at radiantlife.com. O source of the radiance dancing in and about all that is, free us from all constrictions, so that the current of your life may move in us without hindrance. Fill us with thy creativity so that we may be empowered to bear the fruit of your vision, moving to the heartbeat of your purpose. Make us the embodiment of your compassion. Empty us of frustrated hopes and desires as we restore others to a renewal of vision. Do not let us be seduced by that which would divert us from our true purpose, but illuminate the possibilities of the present moment. For you are the ground of the fruitful vision, the birthing power and the fulfillment, as all is gathered and made whole once again. And as again, I'd like to invite you to do your own variation, your own version of the Lord's Prayer, which I will happily share on the Sunday Soul. So it's December, our first December, and as always, December, we have Christmas songs. So my Christmas song is by Matt Mayer, entitled He Shall Reign Forevermore. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All creation groans, for world darkness, thrown on the stone, God is breaking, in a stable for a throne. If I were a wise man, I would travel far. If I were a shepherd, I would do my part before the Lord. I will give to him my heart. He died forevermore.
was Matt Mayer, He Shall Reign Forevermore. Beloved, stay warm on this chilly day, and I look forward to joining you next Sunday for Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. Peace and blessings.